Invite your attention to Psalms chapter 34. Psalms chapter number 34. If you found your place there, signify that by saying amen.
Amen.
Psalms chapter 34. David in a tight place. Begin reading in verse number 1. We'll read down through verse number 10, and we'll stop there for tonight. The Bible says, I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. My soul shall make her boast in the Lord. The humble shall hear thereof and be glad. O magnify the Lord with me, and let us exalt his name together. I sought the Lord, and he heard me, and delivered me from all my fears. They looked unto him, and were lightened, and their faces were not ashamed. This poor man cried, and the Lord heard him, and saved him out of all his troubles. The angel of the Lord encampeth round about them that fear him, and delivereth them. O taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man that trusteth in him. O fear the Lord, ye his saints, for there is no want to them that fear him. The young lions do lack and suffer hunger, but they that seek the Lord shall not want any good thing. Father, bless your word tonight. We've prayed. We've tried to shake the throne of God. We've tried to encourage you to bless us tonight in a way that only you could. And so, Father, we continue on that line. We do want to praise you. We thank you, Father, that we can have the joy bells ringing in our heart. And we believe, Lord, when they are, that somebody will hear them. Someone will see the song that you've given us and be brought to you. We love you. Thank you for loving us. We praise you for loving us. In Jesus' name, amen. David in a tight place. I want you to, in your Bible, go back to verse number 30, or chapter 34, verse number 1. And if you look just above that, I think we see something about the time in which this was written. The Bible said, a psalm of David when he changed his behavior before Abimelech, who drove him away, and he departed. You remember the story in, I've got the reference here, it's in 1 Samuel chapter 21. The story of David having fled away from Saul as best he could, and he could find no rest. And so finally he went down to a king by the name of Achish. And why one place he's called Achish, and in this heading he's called Abimelech, I don't know. Somebody said that one of them is a title and the other name, and that might be true. I'm not sure. I know that whatever, if there's anything wrong here, it's in my understanding, not in the book. And so I rest in that tonight. And I believe, as this is essential for me to know, God will let me know that. And so he's speaking here about the time when he was with Achish, or Abimelech, as it's called here in the heading. And we know that it was a bad place for him. It was a tight place for him. David had to change his personality, change himself and everything, and alter his appearance and alter his actions in order to save his life. And yet we find that he could pen chapter 34 and be so excited about the fact that he belonged to the Lord Jesus. Now, none of us tonight, now I know some of us are going through some tight spots. I know some of us are going through some situations we'd rather not be in. We would swap them off if the Lord allowed us to do that. And yet I doubt seriously if physically anyway, and probably emotionally too, and maybe even spiritually, I doubt that we're in any tighter place than what David was here. You remember in David's history, David had killed Goliath of Gath when he was just a young man. Perhaps even it's been said that perhaps he was just a teenager. What an accomplishment. The Bible tells us that Goliath was between 10 and 12 feet tall, weighed something between 700 and 800 pounds. Now, that's quite a bit of a variance. But either way, take the large one or the small one, it's still quite a good-sized man. A Sunday school teacher one time was teaching a room full of boys and began to describe Goliath to these young men. And she asked, what would you do if you had to face him? And one little boy jumped and said, that's easy. I'd dial 911. And I think that'd probably be a good thing to do if you're facing Goliath. Dial 911, and you better hope that the Lord Jesus picked up on the other end. Now, David killing the giant produced two things. Number one, it produced triumph in his life. And number two, it produced trouble in his life. The trouble came because Saul became very jealous. We talked about the Lord being jealous today. Now we find that Saul also was jealous, and he tried several times to kill David, to take David's life. He was after David. He hated David. The little girls, when they came home from battle, the little girls would be singing, Saul has killed his thousands, and David has killed his tens of thousands. And David was a hero to the people, and Saul became very, very jealous of that. And the Bible tells us that there was many times that Saul had tried to kill him. He sent David into battle and said, I want you to go and get this ransom. If you want my daughter, you have to produce a dowry for her, not from her, but for her. You have to go and kill these men and bring back the evidence that you killed them. And David, of course, did that. Saul thought, boy, I've got him taken care of. Before he brings the tokens back, he'll be killed, he'll be destroyed. That didn't work. And so he sent men even to try to kill David as he slept. And we find that David's wife, for one time in her life, had done something good for her husband. And she made up a bolster under the bed covering and so forth. And they thought it was there. And they tried to kill that and found out it was already dead. And then so David runs to Achish, or to Abimelech, it says in our leader here tonight. And he's under Abimelech's control. He's under Achish's control. And now we see our text. And our text tells us how David behaved himself in a tight spot. Achish didn't like David. Abimelech didn't like David. He was their enemy. He had killed many of their people. And so when David gets there, they're going to kill him. That's their choice. They've decided they're going to kill him. And David goes to the door, or to the gate of the city, and he begins, the Bible says, scrabble. And I think I was kind of scratching like an animal would on the outside of that, and probably having some moaning and groaning one thing or another. And the Bible said that he allowed his spittle to run down in his beard and all those types of things. And Abimelech said, the man's a fool. The man's an idiot. Get him out of here. I don't want to have anything to do with him. And the Bible says that Abimelech ended up sending him away. And then, of course, they ended up meeting then at a later date. But here David says in verse number 1, I will bless the Lord at all times. I wonder how good we are at that. Are we good at blessing the Lord at all times? Now, I believe when we bless the Lord at all times, then that's not only going to be when the doctor says, praise God, it's benign. And that would be good news. If you had cancer and you went to the doctor and they took a biopsy, they said it's benign, that would be reason to shout. That'd probably get you up off the table, the examining table. You'd probably jump up, maybe do a dance around a chair or two, and you'd get real excited. The doctor may have to give you some type of a sedative to bring you back down. I don't know. But David said, I will bless the Lord at all times. And so that's not only when you get a raise. And raises are good. Raises are good. I'm not against people getting raises if they've earned it. I think there's some people ought to give them back, but that's between them and whoever it is that pays them. And so it's not just when things are going good. That's not when it's not only when all the bills are paid. My wife and I had been married a number of years before all of our bills were ever paid. And now we still have some that they're unpaid after the first of every month. And today's the first, by the way, Miss Judy. Amen. And so we've got a job to do there. But it's not just speaking about when the bills are all paid. David said, I'm going to bless the Lord at all times. Now, he's talking about when the boss says, I really don't know how we're going to get along without you, but we're going to try somehow. And some people hear people say things like that. It's not just when the doctor says, you're going to die. You're going to die. I remember when my little brother was so sick, before we even came here, I had a brother that was sick. He'd made contact with Agent Orange in Vietnam and came home and had a lot of health problems and diabetes and I don't know what all he had. And he was spending a lot of money down in Texas with some doctor that ended up being proved to be a quack. And I was at my doctor in Colorado and I was explaining to him what Bud was going through. And he said, Pastor, let me just share something with you. This man's a Jew. And I'd witnessed to him a number of times, and he said to me, I'm going to be plain with you. Your brother's going to die. And he's going to spend a lot of money before he does. And the doctor ended up being accurate. Well, David said, I'm going to praise thee at all times. It's not just, you see, dying is a part of living, and we need to understand that. Somebody said it this way the other day. I recall someone saying that father owning property on both sides of the river, it doesn't matter if I'm here or there, I'm still on the Lord's property. We need to understand we're all going to die. It is appointed unto every man once to die, and after this, the judgment. And so David said, I'm going to praise the Lord. I will bless the Lord at all times. When the doctor says surgery is necessary, we need to understand David said, I will bless the Lord at all times. Now, sometimes maybe you had an idea. You thought it was a great idea, and you gave it that idea to somebody else, and they said, no, that's not a good idea. And maybe they even laughed at your idea. Maybe they put you down and humiliated you. What about then? The Bible says, David said, I will bless the Lord at all times. What a goal. What an ambition. What a record we ought to shoot for. Number two, he said, his praise shall continually be in my mouth. I believe this book teaches, now listen to this, I believe this book teaches that there are no neutral words ever spoken. There are no neutral words ever spoken. I believe the Bible teaches that our words will build people up or our words will put people down. And we need to be careful about it. David said, his praise shall continually be in my mouth. In Proverbs 18, and verse number 20, the Bible says, a man's belly shall be satisfied with the fruit of his mouth, and with the increase of his lips shall he be filled. Death and life are in the power of the tongue, and they that love it shall eat the fruit thereof. David says his praise. He said, I've chosen to praise God always in my mouth. It'll continually be in my mouth. In Proverbs chapter 21, verse number 23, the Bible says, whoso keepeth his mouth and his tongue keepeth his soul from troubles. How many times growing up I got my business in a jam because I let my tongue outweigh my brain. And I spoke things I shouldn't said in a way I shouldn't have said them and so forth. And that hasn't always all ended by being a little bit older either. But we need to understand that our tongue causes us a lot of trouble. When somebody says, I hate him. You know, my mama was a pretty mild-mannered lady. If she told you you were going to get a whip on, you usually did. And she knew how to do that. She said one time that she was going to wash my mouth out with soap, and I thought it was funny, so I didn't think that it would be anything. I thought she'd just stick a bar of soap in your mouth and you'd spit it out a little bit later, and that'd be it. But my mama decided that all those cavities that the dentist had missed ought to have soap in them, and the cracks between your teeth ought to all have soap in them. So mama just really took it upon herself to do that. And the thing that would really, one of the things that would just break my mama's heart is when we would, as siblings, if someone got angry enough that they would say to the other one, I hate you. My mama says, you don't have any idea what you're doing when you say that. Now, I don't know if my mama got that from reading the Bible, or if she got that from an upbringing from her daddy and mama. I don't know. But I believe when we say, I hate him, I hate her, I hate them, I believe when we do that, it invites a spirit of hatred into our life. And that spirit of hatred, Jesus said, if we hate a man without a cause, we've murdered them in our heart. And so it's really a spirit of murder that comes into our heart. David said, his praise shall continually be in my mouth. When a person says, I don't want this baby, they bring a spirit of rejection into that baby's life. You remember when Mary, the mother of Jesus, went to meet Elizabeth, and maybe it's the other way around, I'm not sure. But when Mary greeted Elizabeth, the Bible says that John the Baptist leaped in her within her womb, within Elizabeth's womb. He had been affected by the words that he heard. When you listen to and you study Indian lore and Indian history and traditions, the parents of the daddy of a mama that was going to have a baby would lay on the mama's stomach so that the baby would be right next to his ear, and he'd whisper stories of tradition and stories of hunting and stories of victories and stories of battles and stories won. And they believed that child could actually hear and respond in the future to what he heard there. Oh, how we need to understand. David said, when David was in this tight place, he said, I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. When a person says, I'm fed up with this relationship, it encourages a spirit of division. It encourages that to come. And then in verse number 2, David said, my soul shall make her boast in the Lord. And before you ask me, I'll tell you, I don't know. Why did David say, my soul shall make her boast in the Lord? That's somewhat confusing, but I promise you I'll try to find out what it means. But I don't know tonight. Amen. My soul shall make her boast in the Lord. Now, the Bible testifies that boasting in the Lord, when we boast in the Lord, I believe that there's a better chance of Him taking over and working for us and doing for us what we can't do for ourselves. David said, my soul shall make her boast in the Lord. And so I could ask you this, what have you been bragging about? What have you been boasting about? We had for our slogan for a while, and still I use it, making much of Jesus. Sometimes I sign my letters, making much of Jesus. Most of the time I put in Christ and happy, and most of the time that's true, but sometimes I put making much of Jesus, and we need to make much of Jesus, because when we make much of Jesus, when we boast in Him, I believe He takes over in our situation, so we need to boast in Him. That's kind of like a big brother, and is He not our big brother? You brag about a big brother, and you know, you're in with a bully somewhere, and you've got a big brother, and he's putting a whoop on you or getting ready to or something, and you introduce him to your big brother. If your big brother takes over, you're on a cakewalk. So it is when the Lord Jesus takes over. We need to understand, my soul shall make her boast in the Lord. Boast in material things, and that kind of an attitude prevails. And you know, it just takes any instant, something can happen. How many times people boasted in the stock market? 2-3 days later, they're doing headers off of high bridges and buildings because it's all gone in a New York minute. Need to understand that when we boast in Jesus, we boast in the Lord, that we're boasting in something that's permanent. Amen. Jesus is worthy of our boasting. He's worthy of our bragging. Now, we need to make sure we're not lying, but we can boast about Jesus and we can brag about Him. In verse number 2, the Bible says, the humble shall hear thereof and be glad. The humble, that's people that are of a low status. They understand that they're not trying to be something bigger than what they are. You know, when we begin to think that we're bigger than what we are, we're usually cruising for a fall. We're usually cruising to be brought down a notch or two. And we need to understand that here the Bible says, the humble shall hear thereof. The humble's going to hear, David said, when I bless the Lord at all times, when His praise is continuing in my mouth, when my soul makes a boast in the Lord, then the humble shall hear thereof and be glad. You know, when... do you ever stop to think about when you talk about Jesus, people get glad? Amen. Sometimes you just really do encourage people when you just talk about the Lord Jesus. The other day I was doing some work with Verizon, my favorite wireless telephone company. I didn't say they're perfect. I said they're my favorite. No, I didn't say I even liked them. I just said they're my favorite. And I was visiting with this young lady, and she was very helpful to me. She tried her best. She did her job, and she got ready to get off the phone. I said, ma'am, could I mention something to you? And I began to witness to her, and she said, sir, I'm not allowed to talk to you about religion. And I said, well, then, ma'am, don't talk. Just listen. Just listen. You're allowed to listen to your customers, aren't you? She said, yes. And I said, well, just listen then. And so I gave her the plan of salvation, told her how much Jesus loved her and how I wanted to see her in heaven someday. And we went on about that for a little while and told her what she had to do to be saved. And when we got ready to hang up, she said, sir, I thank you for that. You didn't have to do that, and I really do thank you for that. I believe when we make our boast in the Lord, somebody's going to hear. Somebody's going to be encouraged, and somebody's going to be happy. And then in verse number 3, the Bible says, oh, magnify the Lord with me, and let us exalt His name together. So that goes over into the New Testament, Hebrews chapter 10, verse number 25, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together as the manner of some is. We could even Today, it's as the matter of a lot are. We need to understand the importance. And the book states plainly that we are to meet regularly, and we're to meet often, and we're to do it for the glory of the Lord. And saved people know that. And saved people that don't do that are being willingly disobedient. They've been willingly disobedient. And now I understand there's things that happen and people can't come. Even the law, under the law, as stringent as it was, as strict as it was, as non-forgiving as it was, it said if your ox falls in the ditch on the Sabbath, you could take it out on the Sabbath. What we find a lot of Baptists doing today, they're kicking kicking the ox into the ditch so they'll have a chance to stay home and deal with whatever they want to deal with. So magnify the Lord with me. Let us exalt his name together. David thought about that when David was getting ready to let the spittle run down his beard and scrabble on the wall and so forth. Verse number 4, he said, I sought the Lord and he heard me. Some people are surprised to think that the Lord would hear them. Do you understand the Lord wants to hear you? The Bible testifies to us that the Lord wants to hear us. Many people pray and they don't seem to be heard. Sometimes people pray and they say, God never hears me. Well, a couple of things on that, a couple of thoughts. Number one, maybe there's sin in your life. You know, if I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear me. The Bible says that the Lord's hand is not short that cannot save, neither is his ear heavy that he cannot hear, but your sin has hidden his, separated you. And we need to understand that God can't listen to us like he wants to when there's sin in our life. And then another situation it could be is maybe we're looking for the answer in the wrong place. When people come to me and say, does your church give money? I usually say, not very much. What's your situation? Not very often. Not very often do we just give money. I know that sometimes it's the same person over and over and over. We've traced people before where they go from this church get money, to that church to get money, that church to get money, over and over and over and over, just round and round and round they go. And so if they prayed, Lord, give me money, they're expecting to go to a church, knock on the door, pick up a phone call, make a phone call and get some money. But maybe it would be that God would have them go get a job to answer their prayer. Maybe God has in mind for them to get a job so they can get paid on a regular basis and not have to embarrass themselves or what should be embarrassing to them, by asking for money all the time. And of course, they pray for money and the Lord sends them a job. You know, I heard of a man that died in a flood. And he was standing before the Lord and he had drowned. And there he was standing before the Lord. And the Lord says, you don't look very happy for being here in heaven. And he said, I don't understand you not answering my prayer. And the Lord said, what do you mean? He said, you let me drown in that storm. And the Lord said, no, let's rewind and watch this over again. He said, there you are, watching television, and there's a knock on your door. Remember that? And when you went to the door, it was the Red Cross people and the Sheriff's Department and one thing or another, and they were telling you to leave because there's a flash flood coming. Your house is going to be washed away. And you said, oh, no, the skies are too clear for that. Didn't stop to think that the flood was 10 miles away, but the flash flood's coming, you need to get out of here. I sent those people. You didn't listen. And then when the water started rising up, he said, remember those people that came in that boat? And I said, and they said to you, listen, you need to come. It's going to get worse, and your house is going to be destroyed. You need to get in the boat. I said, no, I've prayed. Everything's okay. God's going to take care of this. He said, and then you remember when you were standing right up on the very tip top of your house and you couldn't even sit down because the water was getting so deep, you were standing up and saying, Lord, what's going on? And I sent a helicopter by and you said, no, get out of here. God's going to take care of me. He said, 3 different times I tried to answer your prayer and you didn't pay any attention. And a lot of times people are like that. They just don't want to hear what God has to say. They already have it figured out how God's going to answer their prayer. And so they don't pay any attention to anything else. Now, just in case we have some Nazarenes listening in, that story didn't really happen. That didn't really happen. Amen. Okay, there we go. Now, another thing we need to understand is that God can't answer an unprayed prayer. God cannot answer an unprayed prayer. We can think about it. We can wish it to be so. But until we pray it, it's just a thought. It's not a prayer until we talk to the Lord about it. Now, I don't think we have to talk verbally to the Lord, but I think we have to talk consciously to Him. We have to do Him homage. We have to respect Him, enter into His presence with thanksgiving and so forth. And I think it has to be a real prayer. If we don't pray prayers, God is not obligated to answer us. And we need to understand today that prayer ought to be our first choice, not our last chance. Prayer, talking to God about things. I sought the Lord, and He heard me. Verse number 5 said, they looked upon Him and were lightened, the Bible says in verse number 5. We need to understand that where to ask ourselves the question, where do people look because of us? Where do they look? Do they look to the welfare rolls? They look for some scam or some scheme? Where do people look when they think about us and think about our relationship? Where do they look because of us? You want to have some fun sometimes, stand on a busy street and just look like this. And you'll have people stop in the street and get out of their car. What's wrong with them? Where are people looking because of us? Really, where are they looking because of us? Are we pointing people to Jesus Christ? Are we pointing them to a religious ideal? Where are we? Are we pointing them to some tradition somewhere? Where do people look because of us? Where are we looking? Where are we looking? The Bible says we ought to be looking unto Jesus, the author, that's the beginner, and the finisher of our faith. And so if He's the beginning and He's the end, He's the Alpha, the Omega, He's the author and the finisher, He's everything in between. We ought to have our eyes upon Him. And then in verse number 6, the Bible says, this poor man cried, and the Lord heard him and saved him out of all his trouble. Remember where David was? David is in a place where if he makes a mistake, he's going to die. One mistake is all it takes, and David's going to die. And yet David said, this poor man, that's humility. This poor man cried, and the Lord heard him and saved him out of all of his troubles. Of course, it speaks of total victory. David understood, no matter what happened here, victory was his. And then in verse number 7, the Bible says, the angel of the Lord encampeth round about them that fear him. Let me ask you a question. Do you fear the Lord? Do you fear the Lord? And of course, one angel, I looked it up again tonight, and I found an instance of where one angel killed 185,000 soldiers. One angel. And the Bible says that the angel of the Lord encampeth round about them that fear him. So when David is in this tight spot, David just remembered that he was surrounded by the angel of the Lord. You remember Elijah? Or maybe it was Elisha, I'm not sure whether it was J or S. One of those fellows was camping out, and his servant got up the next day and looked out and saw this whole army. And he became very fearful. And the prophet said, Lord, open his eyes, let him see that those that are with us are more than those that are against us. And he opened his eyes and he saw that the hills were full of the armies of the Lord. And so David says here, the angel of the Lord encampeth around about them that fear him. That's better than the best insurance policy, and it's certainly better than a bodyguard. Amen. And then in verse number 8, it says, oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. Oh, he's good. Have you tasted the world? Really? If you are above knee high when you got saved, you probably had a little bit of a taste of the world. Maybe even as a child of God, you've ducked into the world a little bit and you've had a little taste of the world. And let me promise you, here's how the world tastes. It tastes bitter. It tastes full of heartache and hurt and regret and remorse. All kinds of things like that. And the Bible says, David said, taste, oh, taste and see. Taste and see. Not smell. Not just look at it, not think about it, but taste and see. You know, Jesus one time, some men asked him where he lived. He said, come see. Come see. And the woman at the well said, come see a man that told me all things that ever I did. And so, you know, people who try Jesus, people that put Jesus to the test, find out he'll always do what he said he'd do. Always. No exceptions. Always. Always do what he said he'd do. And then in verse number 9, O fear the Lord, ye his saints, for there is no want to them that fear him. And we need to understand that. Now, here's the definition of fear. Let's find out if we fear the Lord. Here's the definition of fear. Proverbs chapter 8 and verse number 13, the Bible says, the fear of the Lord is to hate evil. Do you hate evil? Do you hate evil? Do you hate evil in politics? Do you hate evil? Do you hate evil in society today? Do you hate evil? Now, here's some things that God lists. He says pride. You know, in Proverbs chapter 6, God's going to mention seven things that he hates. The first one's a proud look. And so he says here that the fear of the Lord is to hate evil, pride, arrogancy, the evil way, and the froward mouth do I hate. And if you don't hate those things, you don't fear the Lord like you should. When we can be bedfellows with those problems, those social problems, those hurting people problems, when we can be soulmates with those things, our problem is we don't fear the Lord. And of course, when God's people don't fear the Lord, they get in trouble. And then they learn to fear the Lord from the trouble that they get into usually. Verse number 10, it says, the young lions do lack and suffer hunger, but they that seek the Lord shall not want any good thing. Well, what a promise. The young lion is strong. He's ruthless. Has youth on his side. He has wisdom and he's capable. And the Bible says he still lacks. He still suffers. The world today thinks if they can just get prepared, you know, just get prepared like the ant and the grasshopper. You've heard that story. How the ant always prepared. And the Bible even tells us to go to the ant, thou sluggard. Consider her ways and be wise. But you know, there's some things you just can't prepare for without the Lord Jesus. You're not prepared for eternity without the Lord Jesus. And I still think if Jesus is sufficient to die with, he's sufficient to live for. It just makes sense to me. And so the Bible says he will provide. You remember, we've talked a little bit about this of late, the water from the rock, the bread that rained from heaven, the cloud by day and the fire by night, the cruise that was never empty, and the meals that were delivered by way of a raven. You know, these companies now are schooling with and practicing with and exercising, trying to have these, what are these things called? These drones. Meals delivered by drones. Man, that's 4,000 years behind. The Lord did that clear out in the wilderness a long time ago. And he even had the drone named. He called them ravens. And the meal, in the evening, they brought him his meals. In the morning, they brought him his meals. You see, God can take care of us. And so the Bible says in verse number 10, the young lions do lack. Matter of fact, they do lack. And they suffer hunger. They do, matter of fact. But they that seek the Lord shall not want any good thing. Oh, listen to me today. You might want something, but you'll not have to want any good thing. If you seek the Lord, if you just look to Him, call on Him, draw near to Him, and He'll draw near to you. Resist the devil, and he'll flee from you. And so David, in the midst of his problems, he said, listen, I'm going to do these things. And then we find that when David had finished his course there, and it was time for him to leave, Achish or Abimelech simply says, get him out of here. Get him out of here. Not only did he not kill him, but he threw him out of his country because David put the Lord first.
in a tight spot. What are we doing? Let's bow our heads, please.